That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around.
And
again.
You know that old wheel has rolled around again. Here it is, Saturday morning. It's January now, 14th. January 14th, Saturday morning, 2012. We're coming to you live. Got our coffee poured. Our Bible's right here by us. It's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Join us, won't you? We'll be right back.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it does. That old wheel rolls around. Rolling, rolling, rolling is what it does. And it has rolled around a Saturday morning once again. And if you've rolled around the shortwave dial to... Where are we at this morning, Kyle? 5755 or 9480, one of those.
9480
this morning. Then if you've rolled that shortwave dial to that, then you've found Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We'll say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And that's Cowboy Kyle that you hear on Tuesday nights saddling up and setting up the solutions guys for their program. And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard. And you usually hear me on Thursday nights when everything's going okay. And then Kyle and I have been kind of rotating off on communion on Sunday. So that's who you're listening to here. The other two Wranglers kind of had an event that I guess will be made known eventually yesterday. Some things going on down there in La Porte. But I think that they're kind of taking care of that still this morning. So,
got a nice sun coming up over the hills there.
We're going to have a nice sunrise.
I got a perfect view for that this morning.
Purple and pink clouds, and it's a beauty. Well, Kyle, I guess we'll probably open the phone lines up a little bit later if we go over a few things. I got a couple songs here I thought that we might even play. So, but we learned from the best to start out.
Yes.
In prayer. So would you do that for us this morning?
I would. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, first of all, I'd like to thank you for this day, this morning, to allow us to gather here together. Not just me and Richard, but all those out there who have got up this morning, ready to start this day off, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down to earth and died for us. Not for himself, not for his friends and family, Lord. He died for us, sinners. who then can become his friends and family. And we just ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning. Give us understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. Send your Holy Spirit down upon us, Lord, to help us. To help us speak what we need to speak. Be with our minds, our hearts. And be with us, Lord, and guide and protect us. Lead us in your ways and all those that are yours out there. Our families, our extended families, our brethren and sisters in Christ, Lord. We ask you to be with them and just let us have a good show, good morning, so that we can fight the good fight today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. And we do hope, as Kyle prayed, that you're having a good morning. If you've started it off with a nice big cup of coffee like we've got out here, and can look out the window and see that sunrise coming up. Got a few clouds, but just a tint of pink. Kind of those lavender clouds over there, and it's okay to have pink and lavender clouds if that's how God wants to.
That's right.
Them, then I guess that's okay. We're tough enough to look at it that way.
The world tries to ruin stuff, like they ruin the rainbow, but but God's the architect. He's the true artist, And if he wants to paint the sky pink, he can.
He can. It is his to paint. I remember back there in the beginning. It says God created. So if he created it, he can do with it as he wishes. And we are the same way. We are his creation. And we have to remember that. We are different. All of us are different vessels. Some vessels for this and some vessels for that. And he does with us as he wishes. And his way is right. His way is right.
We were talking, me and my wife was talking the other night about, and I'm sure there's exceptions to the rules, but we're talking about some people. We've always been bothered to go into cemeteries if there wasn't a purpose to go into a cemetery.
Just to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that I believe there's ghosts walking around. They're just kind of creepy a little bit. But if you've ever went into a cemetery, some headstones or whatever you call them are big and make. It's like they spent $20,000, building this shrine or whatever you want to call it, Mm-hmm. Well, this morning on the way out here, for some reason, that Matthew 23 verse was popping into my head, about the, I'll just read it in 27 here. I looked it up. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And I'm just thinking, you have some headstones that are really small. They say the man's name or woman's name, and they give the date they were born and the date they died, and maybe the city or state from where they're from, but they have dead bones in them, just like those 20, 30, however many thousands of dollars, but they want you. Well, I won't go into all the why they do it, but in some cases they want you to think, well, this person was really special, and because they were so special, we're going to do this for them. But only God knows how special they were. They might be like this, full of hypocrisy and iniquity. No matter how big of a headstone they might have there. And I was just thinking about that for, people. And these false preachers that are up on the pulpits on Sunday mornings, and how good they might look and how good they might sound with their eloquent words and their big choir behind them or whatever. But
and they usually are smooth.
Oh, they're smooth.
When you watch them.
And they're full of dead men's bones. I don't know. I don't know why that was on my mind, but it was.
This past week, someone sent me sent me a link, said that, Joel Osteen is stealing Pastor Peter's I Am Confessional. Pastor Peter's came out with that I Am Confessional a few years ago, and it's certainly a good little booklet. it goes through and tells all the I ams. You know, I am saved. I am a child of God. I am not condemned now that I'm in Christ. And goes through all the I ams and still and has room in there for you to write in your own I ams. And if you'd like that little booklet, we'll be glad to send it to you. We just ask for some donation. I don't even have a price on it, I think. But if you do want that, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. So this caught my eye. I mean, I've seen Joel Osteen a little bit, you know, just from small clips and things, and usually him and his very pretty blonde wife, and they're both made up to the nines, and you know, in their $14 million mansion, as they're telling people how God wants them to be blessed too. Yes, He does. And so I watched this little half-hour clip. I'll confess my sins before my brethren. I watched a half-hour of Joel Osteen. And he is smooth. He is. He puts the people in a spell. You know, the way he talks and he blinks his eyes. What does the Bible say about he who blinks his eyes? And he talks. And when he's talking, Kyle, he's
both at the same time.
He's blinking his eyes. He is. I mean, it's like what he's saying is written on the inside of his eyelids, and he has to close his eyes and read it, and then open his eyes and say it. And you know, in that 30 minutes, I don't think he mentioned a scripture verse in the 30. I only watched the first 30 minutes. I couldn't validate taking another 30 minutes out of my day to watch 30 more minutes. But, oh, was he smooth. And now he's preaching, I think, somewhere there in Houston. I think it's like the Houston, it's like the Astrodome, not the Astrodome, but something like that. They bought from, you know, like one of the big teams.
Right.
And you want to talk about a nosebleed section. I mean, they're showing videos from the top. It's like a rock concert, but all the people are sitting there with their Bibles. And you would think, well, that's good. But as I'm looking at it, you know, they have their little mantra. I don't know what it is. You know, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I love God. God loves me. I am blessed. They have a little mantra they say at the beginning of it. I'm sure that the people out there that have listened, I don't need you to call in and tell us, but it's a little mantra that they chant. And it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's not, although I think they did say the Lord's Prayer. But it was a 30-minute feel-good session. You know, it was that you are beautiful. God made you the way you are. He loves you.
Sounds like a pep rally at a high school.
It's about what it was. Yeah. It's about what it was. And, but, you know, I think that ties right in with what you're saying about those whitened sepulchers. That place looks great from the outside. They've got a bigger parking staff than we have staff.
Yeah.
Okay? They've got more people that tell people where to park on their two or three programs they have, you know, than we have probably attend the local LaPorte Church of Christ. And, you know, that in itself is not bad. But when you hear it, you're not hearing the words of Christ. You're not hearing the words of God. You're not hearing in this sinful world that we're in a cry for repentance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all me to make me feel good, to make you feel good. That's what it is. And there's many biblical principles that he puts out, but I 30 minutes was all I could stomach on it, and.
I think I've seen clips.
I'll have to
on
show you
other shows.
I think I kept
that's
it on
okay.
The
you know?
No, really. Well, as soon as we're done here, we'll go over Kyle and I'll show you that for sure. And we'll have to let Kyle answer that phone. It's ringing here in the office. That's a different phone that's ringing. And if you haven't been reading Proverbs, you should be. You should be reading Proverbs, and today's the 14th. Maybe we'll get to Proverbs 14. I don't know. Let's have a song. Is that all right with you, Kyle?
It is.
Let me unmute you there while you answer the phone.
Yeah,
let's do
is.
A little song. Carl Klang. You know, I'll ask you to pray for Carl Klang. Carl Klang is an excellent songwriter, but you've heard the pastor say how Satan comes after the minstrels. He sure come after Carl and got him. And but I just keep thinking in the back of my mind that it ain't over yet. That it ain't over yet. So, got a song here from Carl Klang. It's an oldie.
Oldie but goodie?
Oldie but goodie. But I want you to listen to the words. He has a very good way of looking at what's happening today and what's been happening and putting it to song. So enjoy this. We'll be right back.
The winds of change are blowing strange through the streets of my hometown. The for sale signs tell of more hard times since the factory's closing down. Hasn't been this slow, say the folks I know, since just before the world war. Now a working man can work hard, but still he's poor. And the talk is it's not America anymore. This ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? Why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't the land my father fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free, the home of the brave. And it seems like this ain't America anymore. She was proud and free back in 63, back when coffee cost just a dime, when her children could play in her parks all day without fear of drugs and crime. Yes, these streets of old were once paved with gold, but now they're cold and damp, I know. Since a job I just lost went south to Mexico. Guess these streets are the only place I've got left to go. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? And why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. This ain't the land our fathers fought for. Where has she gone? The land of the free, the brave. It seems like this ain't America anymore. How I long to go back to the time and place when we were living the American dream. But now I fear it's too late, and from my destitute state I just want to throw my head back and scream. 'Cause this ain't America anymore. This ain't America anymore. Where has she gone? And why can't she see? She's digging her grave. No, this ain't America anymore. The land of the free, the home of the brave.
I bet you'd agree that this ain't America anymore, is it?
This is not America anymore. A lot of thoughts were running through my mind during that song. Not just about the 10-cent cup of coffee, but you know, I used to ride my bike, I bet when I was 10 years old, on a Saturday morning. Get up and watch some cartoons, maybe eat a bowl of cereal, and I'd be gone. I bet you 6 hours on my Stingray bike, maybe my baseball glove over the handlebars, going to the local grade school or park, playing with my friends that lived a mile or two away. We'd meet up there. Didn't have to worry about the things that people have to worry about today.
That's right.
What a different world.
I remember that very same thing, being able to do that, being able to even just to walk down to the little corner store and not have to worry. I've never even thought about, you know, the horror that they have to think about today, abductions and this and that. Yeah. And so, yeah, it has changed. So, well, we got the Ramrod with us this morning now. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We'll tell you
that
welcome.
Was a blast.
Welcome
was a
to
blast
coffee.
From the best.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you know how true it was. But, you know, we're not in America anymore. We are in Babylon.
Yep.
We are in Babylon once again. And write that down if you're out there listening. Babylon, you might put a question mark beside it. Babylon? How are we in Babylon? No, you know, many people say, well, this world's gone to hell. And that's a biblical term. No, we haven't gone to hell. We've gone biblically to Babylon. It's where we're at. And you can read of it in the Old Testament. You can read about it in the New Testament. I think it's Isaiah, though, that says, don't quote me on that one. I'm guessing. I'll tell you that. I don't want you to think I'm some Bible scholar here, but I know that it does say, we go to Babylon, but there we're rescued. And that's a good thing. That's the good
thing. Yeah, it's gotten so bad that we were even down in Denver last night at Heidi's basketball game, and Lila wanted to just go out to the car to get something he left in there, and it was directly across from the doors going into the gym, and I told him absolutely not. Oh, Dad, it's only right there. I can text 911 on my iPad or something or iTouch, and I'm like, nope, you don't understand. It only takes a second, you know.
Yeah, it's sad that
that it's become that way.
But it has. But it has. And Kyle, why do you think it's that way?
Well, enlighten me.
What do you think causes all that?
Well, it's called iniquity.
It is.
The world of iniquity. You know, we were talking about the preachers before, John, the false preachers, the Joel Osteens, you know, and it's every phase of society. It's the politicians, you know, and it's those dirty pulp, the preachers, the spiritualized, you know, they babble on is what they do. And some of them have really big words and they really sound neat and make people even feel good, you know, but it's just a bunch of Babylon, you know, and that's what it is. You know.
Yep.
I mean, some people, you know, they'll tend to, you know, I don't know if you guys probably heard, I'm sure you've heard this, Mystery Babylon, you know, being the Catholic Church or the Jews, or, I mean, the thing of it is, it's all of it is. There's just different sects of it, you know, I mean, different sections of it, you know, and there's not a, I've been really reading up on the Catholic Church and a lot, you know. There's a fine line between the Catholic Church and the Jews, I mean, and the Judaism. I mean, they have a lot of the same things going on, you know. And the Catholic Church might be that whore of harlots, you know, the great harlot that rides on the beast's back. She might be, you know, or the Judaizers might be, you know. But the fact of the matter is it's Babylon. It's all that, you know, all put together.
Yep, that's for sure.
This is what you call a pause for everybody to take a breath,
regroup,
and catch their breath. Yeah, John, we had just said we knew that you and Jason had kind of had a little to do down there, not amongst yourselves, but just you know, things happen. We have to stay true to the word. We're not to be surprised. I'm going to kind of mention that, and I've got the communion talk tomorrow, and I'm going to kind of mention that when things happen that are outlined in the word, that the word says, don't be caught saying, I can't believe that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that would happen. Because what you do is you call God a liar when you do that. And, you know, if we read it in the Word, and we do our best to stay in the Word, and things happen, you know. When we read about people being healed in the Bible, whether it's the Canaanite woman or the friend that was let down in the basket from the roof, or the woman that had the issue of blood for so many years, or, you know, do we say that when we read that in the Bible?
No.
I can't believe that woman who had who'd been bleeding for 12 years, been to the doctors, and all, that she just was healed that fast. I can't believe it. Well, if you can't, then, you know, you nullify the Word of God. You say you cannot believe the Word of God. Well, there's things that also happen here, like just like us being in Babylon and the things that happen once we're in Babylon. And, you know, when we see these biblical things happening in our lives, again, don't be caught saying, I can't believe it. Believe it. But
yep.
Understand that the Word told about it, tells about it, and, you know, that we have to believe not only the Word, but when the things the Word talks about come true, when they happen, you know, we have to, we by all means have to believe that. And,
yeah.
You know, in...
Much of the time it's a direct answer to prayer, too.
It is.
We've been specifically praying that Luke 12, 2 through 5, and I'm positive that the Lord's hearing our prayers and you know, anything that's hidden will be revealed, and anything that's whispered in the back rooms will be shouted from the housetops. So, praise the Lord that He answers our prayers.
Yep.
Amen.
Zach, why don't we read that?
Sure, you got it there?
Yeah. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has the authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that. And it is, you know, you've heard us talk, this last 6 months of seasons. And if you tuned in last Sunday, I think Pastor even mentioned that there's a time for everything. And,
yep.
You know, sometimes, you know, our timing is not always in God's timing, and certainly God's timing is not always in ours. But, you know, sometimes it takes a season or two for fruit to come out. For true fruit to come out. And sometimes it takes a season or two for things that are whispered in the dark, that have been whispered in the dark. You know, there were things that went on before our Branson trip this last year. There were things that were whispered in the dark. There were things that were gossip that was spread and things like that. And, you know, for the most part, there's been very few lights shined on them. There have been lights shined on them since then. But there have been our little flashlights, you know. I got one right here. Our little flashlights, right? Ooh, there's a light on it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That big old sun that's coming up right over those clouds here in about 10 minutes, that light is going to shine on those things that were whispered in the darkness. And they will be known. That's what the Word says. And when it happens, we instruct and teach you out people out there and ourselves, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised.
Yeah, there's, I don't know, things I've been talking about with some friends lately, too, is I try to remember scriptures and quote them, but I was looking in, here just paging through my Bible, looking in Revelations 3:15, says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And several people have said to me, well, you think I'm lukewarm? And I'm like, if you're politically correct, you're lukewarm. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, and that's the bummer thing about it is because most people that are lukewarm don't really see themselves as lukewarm. You know, they see themselves as kind.
Kind.
And nice.
Nice, you mean?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You know, but really,
you tell people what that means, and they just look at you like you're from another planet.
I know.
No doubt.
But that's our job. Keep trying to spread the truth.
It is. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, live in peace with one another. And it says that several times, you know, to live in peace with one another. And he's, again, talking to the brethren. He's not talking to people that are, he understood at this time that, you know, Rome still had its soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And Rome, at times, sent its soldiers out to prevent this word from being read and prevented this word from being copied down and written down and that type of thing. He wasn't talking to the, you know, ring of soldiers that surrounded many times the apostles and the people that came after the apostles where Rome could not go because they could not break through the ring of Christian soldiers that defended the apostles. If you haven't read the book, The Drama of the Lost Disciples, it talks about that. How, you know, even when Rome ruled the world and had, said they had soldiers everywhere, there were places in England that they didn't. There were places in Europe that they didn't. Because that's where the disciples were, or the disciples' disciples. And that's where they were writing these things and compiling these. But it says, live in peace with one another. And so we're told to do that as much as possible. But he goes on and says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Well, how many times do we do that? We're told to do it here. We have to do that. Admonish the unruly, but also encourage the faint-hearted. And isn't that what we try to do in these broadcasts?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think it really is. You know, if you tuned in Tuesday night and heard Kyle reading from the Psalms, that, you know, not that I was faint-hearted, but I don't consider myself faint-hearted anyway, but I was able to listen to some of it, and it was encouraging. You know, when he's saying that you read this, but you have to not just read it, but apply it. You have to believe it. You have to apply it. And that is encouraging. And based on the emails and the letters and the calls that we get here, the people are being encouraged by it. It says, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Rejoice always. Now, there's something. So when we see things that maybe happen in the Word, or that are told about in the Word, that happen in our lives, you know, we're told right there to rejoice always.
Yep, it's just like our pastor taught us at Branson. Probably the most profound thing that he taught us was when he said he's never had a bad thing happen to him, and it's like, wow, for him to say that after all he's been through. But you have to say that. I believe Romans 8:28.
Yep. And like you said, you know, Richard reading about be at peace with everyone, you know, and then you go to the scriptures, it tells you what communion or fellowship does light have with darkness. You've got to harmonize those scriptures. And, you know, you can't just say, well, we're supposed to be at peace with everyone. I mean, we've all heard people say that. We're supposed to be at peace with everybody. We're supposed to be kind to everyone. We're supposed to, you know, well, yes, but we're also supposed to let our light shine. And when you let your light shine, the darkness hates it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It does.
As the sun came up this morning, the darkness was going down the other side of the earth.
Just as fast as that sun was
coming up. That's right, because they hate, and they should hate each other.
Yeah.
And you ever notice how they can't exist at the same time, in the same place?
That's right. You know?
I mean, the darkness still exists. It's just away from us.
And when you have a little, let's say you got a candle that's almost, the width is almost gone. You know, it's not sufficient. I mean, you might be able to see a little bit to get your way, but it's not what you want. It's like, man, it needs to be brighter in here, you know, or a light bulb that doesn't have enough wattage. I mean, there, you got to harmonize it all. You can't just hold to one and not to the other, you know. And then there's the scripture, you know, same verses, I think, where it talks about hot water and cold water can't come out of the same spout, or however it puts it, depending on what translation you got. You know, because that's a double-minded person. You know, and then if you mix them, then you get that lukewarm, which John was talking about, you know, where God hates lukewarm. You know what I mean? He hates warm coffee. He wants it hot, you know. He hates warm milk. He wants it cold. I mean, that's just basic. You know, everybody knows that stuff. But the Christian world, you know, they dirty the water. You know, they make it not so cut and dried, so to speak.
Yeah, thing we got to remember though is there are those that are of their father, the devil, that they are doing the will of their father. You know, and sometimes we try to see, well, how can this be going on in this person? Well, sometimes they don't even have control because
I don't think Judas had control because I don't think he would have hung himself or killed himself afterwards if he would have had control. He would have been out spending the 30 pieces of silver he got, you know?
Yep. Interesting times we live in, men.
It is. So, and again, we encourage you out there, if, you know, we've been talking about reading the Proverbs. I did that Thursday night. Read Proverbs. Oh, it was Proverbs 12, and shared my thoughts with the people on that. But, you know, read your Proverbs. If you're not reading your Bible, it's a good place to start. But, you know, we also suggest a diet here from Scriptures from America.
They're talking about me.
Oh, no. No. Well, we do suggest a diet that goes along with you reading the Bible, and it's called the Red Letter Diet. And if you have a Red Letter Bible, many do, whether it's King James or whatever, if you have a Red Letter Diet, boy, sometimes you can just open up that New Testament, just read the words in red, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about nourishing. You know, it will. It is a living word, and it is living food. It really is.
The way I look at it is, when I read the Bible, something that hits me, you know, that I know I heard that our pastor say it at one point, and it really sticks to you, then I get out my highlighter and I highlight it.
Yes.
And I read it over and over and over, trying to see if there's something hidden there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I look at it is this red letter is God highlighted it for you, you know.
That's right. That's right. It is.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Amen.
He knows we're weak and foolish.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The first letter of that Paul wrote to Timothy in 3, you talk about highlighting. I've got it highlighted here, and it just says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And, you know, we discipline ourselves whether we know it or not. Most of the times we call it lack of discipline. You know, oh, I want to get up and run in the morning. You know, I want to lose 5 pounds. I want to eat better. I want to do this. I want to do that. But many times we find that we lack the discipline to do those things. You know, even if it's I want to spend more time with my family, or if it's I want to spend more time in the Word. But we're instructed here to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And, you know, that's one thing that, of many, that Pastor sure was disciplined.
Yeah.
I mentioned that Thursday night. You know, he would get up in the morning, and he would read the Bible. How many times he'd read it through, who knows. But he would read the Bible. He would have prayer. He would have his morning devotions. And you know, being out here for 10-plus years, I recognize that. You know, it is just what the Bible said. He was disciplined for godliness. His calling was to preach the Word. It's what he did. He was grounded in the Word. And he was disciplined in his devotions, in reading the Bible, you know, as well as many other things that he was disciplined in, you know, in being a good family man, in taking care of the Wranglers here, in praying for the remnant. You know, he just was. So I just wanted to share that with you. That verse always stands out to me every time I go through the Bible and read that, because he was disciplined And he set a good example for us all to follow.
Yeah, it's up to us to learn from that and to take over where he left off.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to praying for the remnant.
Yes.
That's one thing that I've made a New Year's resolution this year.
Well, we're told to do that. You know, Hebrews tells us, encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And, you know, that's what we try to do, to encourage one another, to encourage one another to read the Word. You know, it sure is encouraging, and maybe we have an advantage here that, you know, we have four Christian men just in the four of us that we're able to talk with one another. And it's sure an encouragement to me when, you know, I hear you, John, or Kyle, or Jason, you know, reading the Word, speaking the Word, saying, hey, did you see this in the news, and applying biblical principles to it, those type things. Those are encouraging to me. I have to think they're encouraging to all of us.
They absolutely are.
As well as in the local church. And we realize that the remnant out there is just that, the remnant, that they don't always have someone else to be encouraged biblically by. And so, again, we take the role that we have here very seriously. And you know, I think I speak for all of us, are doing our best to do that, to continue on in the footsteps that the pastor started, and to put the Word out, to be an encouragement to you, and it encourages us as well. It does.
It does. It just you know, you're talking about the pastor's discipline. I mean, he had it when he didn't feel that good. You know, he'd get up in the mornings. He had his bad days.
Just like all of us do.
You know, and I don't know if I heard him say this or I just know it because of you know, witnessing myself, is I bet you when he started going through his routine, reading the Bible, having his devotional prayers, he started feeling a little better. You know, because that's how it works. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not great when the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, man,
Especially on Saturday morning,
I got to get to the ranch. You know, sit down there. But by the time the show's clicking, by the time it's over, it strengthens me for the day. You know,
it does.
And you know, it's just like you said, it was great to see his examples. You know, and to learn from him and to know that that's the way you got to be when you're a Christian. I used to have friends that were strictly golf friends. Or strictly go out to dinner with friends. They never encouraged me spiritually.
Right.
You know, they might have helped my golf game. Hey, man, have you tried doing this? No, I haven't tried that. You know, great. You know,
sure.
But and then I have friends now, not a lot, you know, for world standards, but enough that encourage me spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying, when I talk to you and John and Jason about biblical stuff, that encourages me, you know. Even though we might not all agree perfectly on what, you know, on how to handle a situation, it's you go home, you contemplate, and you say, you know, I'm glad they gave me that because, you know, my opinion isn't always right, you know. And it's good to have, even if it's just one out there, to be able to, you know, to talk to and maybe get a different perspective on, because, you know, even though we might think we're always right, we're not always right.
Yeah, it used to amaze me about Dad. Was he'd have a week where he'd have a hard time getting out of bed, pretty much. But boy, I tell you what, every Sunday morning he would do whatever it takes to get in that truck and drive all the way down here and preach a edifying sermon. And boy. I sure admired him for that.
And again, it's an example for us.
Yep.
You know,
toughen up.
to toughen up, to you know, to understand that's how God works. You know, I read that. You flip over to Hebrews 5:8. It says, "He learned obedience from the things which he suffered." Now, it's talking about Jesus Christ there. It's talking about the Son of God. It says right there, although he was a son, and that's a capital S, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And then it goes on, and having it says, and having been made perfect. So we need to understand that. Again, it's when suffering comes, you know, where is it in Peter? It says, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals that come upon you. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a Christian, the fiery ordeals are going to come. The trials, the storms, they come. The winds howl and the waves batter, and we have the trials and tribulations. And you know, I was talking with Chris earlier this week, and he said, you know, he's come to realize that it's not that because you're a Christian these things happen, or because you're not a Christian these things happen. That's life. It happens. But, as it says here, Jesus learned obedience from the things which he suffered. You know, he is our ultimate example. So when things come upon us and we have to suffer for a little while, you know, it's so that we will learn obedience.
Yeah, it's like when we had our share of death this year for sure. But, you know, I lost my dad, and a week later I lost the man I called my dad, and the same time you lost your mother, and it's like God saying, okay, boys, time to toughen up, you know?
Yeah. I remember several times before my father passed away 2.5 years ago that Peter had said how different things are when your father passes away. His father passed away, what, 11 or 12 years ago, John, something like that, if not more. Quite a long time ago. And
more like... 14, I think.
Yeah, before I came out here. I remember we were on the ministry, but we were not out here. And, you know, him saying several different times that things are different when your dad passes away. And they sure are. You know, you do have to toughen up. You move into a different role. You know, it's not a role that I can tell you I wanted to move in when my dad passed away.
Yeah.
It's not at all. And John, I'm sure you're seeing that very same thing. It's not something that you've wanted to step into since both your dads have passed away. But, you know, Peter knew. Our pastor knew. And I think all along, in his way and in God's way, that, you know, he was strengthening us, leading, teaching, directing.
It's just like when Dad got the call that Earl passed, and Dad got the call that Earl Moore passed, and I remember when things really hit him, he just kind of bite down on his knuckle a little bit, and you know, just take it, say, okay, God, this is what you want, you know.
Yeah, he understood that.
So hopefully we all learn from him and get stronger, and not only our faith, but the way we deal with these issues as they come about. Set a good example for the next younger generation like he did for us.
It's true, and it's all a growth process. I think I was 27 when my dad passed, and, you know, it's a horrible thing. My dad was a good Christian, baptized man, you know, brought up. A lot of the things we teach out here, you know, but not the Israel truth. And if my dad would have been alive when I came upon Pastor Peters, I might not be here now. Because your dad, you know, and like you guys said, there's a time where you got to grow up. And there's a good chance, because he might not have accepted the Israel truth, that it would have kept me from the growth that I needed to do, you know, to learn to say, hey, it's not, you know, I'm 40 years old, it's time to walk on my own, you know, or whatever, you know, 27 at the time. And that's just how it works, you know. Horrible things you think at the time, man, my life's going to change, it's going to be horrible. You know, it's God's in control. As horrible as this situation seems out here, God's in control. There's a reason why the pastor died. We might not know it, But there's a reason.
We might not like it.
We might not like it.
And we don't, but you're right. You're right. You know, the Bible says God works some things for good for those that love him. And we just have to hope that this is one of the some things, right?
Yeah.
You know, right?
All things.
He works all things for good. You know, we mentioned earlier about the Joel Osteen and the feel-good sermons, you know, and that's what most of these are. You know, whether it's Rick Warren's, a purpose-driven life, or, you know, you just need to feel good about yourself, or whatever it is. No, we need to love God. The duty of man is what? To serve God. To love God. You know, to serve God. And the way we do that is we keep his commandments, we read his word, we apply it, and we understand that, and you know, you talk about, at least in my life, the peace that surpasses understanding. How many times God has just poured that out upon my family and upon me. But it's knowing that God works all things for good. All things for good. All. It's not some. I said that earlier because I've done that with our children before. You know, something will happen. Somebody's sick or whatever. Well, we just better hope this is one of those some things that God works for good. No, that's not the way God works. He works all things for good, but it's for those who love him. And if you love him, you keep his commandments. How are you going to know his commandments if you don't read his word? You know, if you don't have some type of fellowship with others to understand what his word is, you know. And that's where we're at. It really is. He does work all things for good. We just have to come to that understanding. You know, it's always been that way. It's just when we can come.
Well, there's always a choice. There's always a decision. I mean, are you going to be in it, you know, go into depression, you know, like so many people in the world are today, and even some good Christian people are in depression, you know, or, you know, you're going to man up, you know, and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you and lead you where you're supposed to go, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I don't want to speak for the depressed out there because I don't go through that, you know, and it's like anything else, you know, if you don't go through it, it's hard to speak for them, but at the same time, it's like, man up, you know. I mean, you know, you've got to pick yourself up off the ground and move forward. You know, you can't just curl up in a ball like some of them want to do and take drugs and or whatever. You know, it's just
right. Well, too, we're given the promise that he will not put more on us than we can handle.
Yep.
And so, if we know that, well, then you know, it's like being a soldier in the army. Okay. If you drive a tank, you're trained to drive a tank. You have the instruction manual on how to drive the tank, and you've been trained in how to drive the tank. So when it's time to drive the tank, you can do it, you know, because you've been through it. And it's the same way here. You know, he strengthens us, he guides us, he directs us. He says in his word that he will never, ever leave us.
Yep, I will not forsake.
Absolutely. And so when these things come upon us, whether it's, you know, like John said earlier, this past summer was a tough summer. It was a very tough summer. John's in Chicago with his dad passed away, and I'm in Florida with my mom passed away, and Pastor passes away here.
And I made it back.
You made it back. But I just mean, within 10 days, 7 days, you know, it was tough. But I knew, and as I think we all did, that even with all this, God doesn't put more on you than you can handle. He will see you through it.
Mm-hmm.
He will. He sees you through it. So.
Yeah. It's like when I got the call from my dad, like 3 in the morning or something, and I just hit my knees and thank God, because I wanted good years, or I didn't want him. I wanted him to go home, you know, because I didn't want him to suffer. My mom's not the kind of person who would probably take the right care of him while he was suffering and just try to put him in a nursing home. I hate to say that, but, and my dad was absolutely, he was not going to a nursing home, so the Lord answered prayer. And I tell people that I hit my knees and I thank the Lord, and they go, "What?"
Yep.
And I go, "Absolutely,
absolutely."
There are things a lot worse than death.
That was my thoughts. That was just what I was going to say, John. There are worse things than dying. I was reading in, I don't probably have time to find it now, but in Proverbs this morning, and it talks about, see if I can find it real quick. Let's see, today's the 14th. So it's either the 14th or the 15th, but it talks about how, death is it's almost, it talks about it looking forward to it. I don't see it right here, but, death for the righteous.
Yeah. Well, Paul said, "Whether I live or whether I die, I'm Christ Jesus." You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here it is. It's in 14:32. But the righteous has a refuge when he dies.
Yeah.
How about that? The righteous has a refuge when he dies.
Yeah, and we talked about how the world's changed. I can just imagine how the people that run these places, nursing homes and things, treat these people nowadays with the way that this world's gone to Babylon.
Yeah.
It's sad and it's scary. So
it is. It is. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. I want to say thanks for joining us this morning. John, appreciate you getting up and getting called into us. And Kyle,
yeah,
well, thank
sorry
you.
About being late.
It's easy for John. He just wakes up and gets on the phone. And you know, I live about a mile away from the office, so it's not too hard for me. But, Kyle, we really appreciate you getting up and driving
yeah,
the 30 minutes out to their ranch.
I could make the phone call, but, you know, this is way funner.
I it is for me, too. It's much better, you know, to have you here in the studio. And again, you know, we always try to invite you to church out there. You've heard us say it before, real men don't go to church. But let me tell you something, we're real men, and we're going to be in church tomorrow. And we invite you to come to church with us. You can do it on the Internet. Just go to scriptures4america.org. And right there on the home page, you can join us. If you have a good high-speed connection, you can click on the live video stream. If you don't have the greatest Internet connection, you can click on the audio stream and hear the broadcast tomorrow. If you have an iPhone, there's a little application there you can click on and watch us right on your iPhone. We have those, and we monitor that, and we monitor the regular broadcast to make sure it goes out. But we invite you. Come to church with us. 10 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll have a scriptural insight and study, about 25 minutes, and then we'll have some music. John will do an introduction to us. We'll have some music. We'll have communion service, and then we'll all tune in for a sermon. We don't know what it is. We're as surprised. We'll be as surprised as you are at the sermon that Jason has prepared for us.
I bet it's Pastor Peters.
There you go. One of the vintage classic messages that are timeless because they're based on the Word. You know, the Word was written. You know, this Bible covers what 6,000-8,000 years worth of history, and the words that were written way back here are just as applicable today. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons the pastor's sermons are just as applicable. As Tim said a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night prayer meeting, the food that he feeds the sheep with is still just as fresh and nourishing now as it was the 20 years ago that he preached it. So we invite you to church.
As I talked to several people who are the remnant, they just say, who picks those sermons? And I said, well, to be honest with you, the Holy Spirit is absolutely working through Jason, and Jason has done an excellent job of preparing the proper sermon for the time that we're in. So I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit's working.
Yep, I agree
that
with
it is. Well, guys, let's go out with one of Pastor's favorite songs. He sure enjoyed it. I like it.
Snake Eyed?
There you go. You've been here before. This isn't your first rodeo, is it, Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, thanks again for joining us. We thank all of the remnant out there for joining us. And we do appreciate your prayers. They're needed. Know that we pray for you too.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Talk about hit 'em up, hit 'em up. up the tide.
Roundabout, right aboard, right aboard, roundabout.
Right about, right aboard.
Stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand.